BBC Six Music podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Joe, 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 Jojo is the best one.
Oh, you punks.
Yes!
Thanks very much, Anthony Crumbleholm.
Crumbleholm?
He's from Stony Stratford.
My home has crumbled.
I don't know. Anyway, Anthony, thank you very much. He suggested that we collaborate on a podcast intro.
It was a very good suggestion. If you think these podcast links sound a bit strange, it's because we're doing them from the toilets... in the bar where we just did our live
record. Specifically, it's the corridor just outside the toilet. We thought it was a better alternative than actually being in the bar at the Camden Crawl where we are.
We like to give you a range of acoustics.
But now it sounds a little bit like we're in Eraserhead or something.
Well, that squealing sound you just heard was the sound of rather a beautiful blonde lady emerging from the toilet.
A beautiful lady emerging from the toilet.
What more beautiful sight is there?
Without further ado, we're going to get into the Camden Crawl special podcast for you now, listeners, and we will join you for Retro Text the Nation as usual and an outro. But here we are with the Camden Crawl fun. No!
This is the voice of the big British castle. Adam and Joe are coming live from the Camden Crawl. It's a kind of music festival in London town with a lot of weirdos and unsavory types of grimy cripes.
Good morning, Black Squadron. This is Adam Buxton speaking.
Hey, this is Joe Cornish, and we're joining you this morning live from Camden Town. Isn't that correct?
That is, in fact, correct. We are here as part of the Camden Crawl, which Six Music is organising. Here, it's very exciting. It's a two-day festival in London town, and it's got bands. The Yeah Yeah Yeahs were playing last night. We introduced Madness, playing on the top deck of a bus. The Fall are playing tonight. All kinds of good things going on. We're not going to see any of the actual music because we're too old. And there's an alarm that goes off if you're too old into some of the venues. Only Steve Lamacq has the ability to bypass the alarm.
We're joined here, though, in our makeshift studio, which is in a sort of a... What is it? A sort of a shed stroke, barn stroke...
It's a bar, Joe.
But a bar.
A bar.
A bar. I remember bars.
Yeah.
It's in a bar. We're in a bar in Camden, and we're joined by 20... elite listeners.
All members of Black Squadron, by default, because they are here. You know, just to remind you that if you're listening now, you are part of Black Squadron. Black Squadron are the people that listen to this program for the first half hour live as it goes out. The people that tune in from 9 o'clock until 9:30 in the morning on a Saturday, right? Not listening again. You're not part of Black Squadron if you're listening again. Not downloading the podcast, but actually listening live. So we've got squadron, 20 squadron members here. We're very excited to have them. Clean-cut young men and women.
They're all staring at us at the moment. Every single pair of eyes, 40 pair of eyes staring at us.
Here's a letter from Nick. A letter, an email, that's what it is. He says, and still there is a few people out there who are confused about whether they are or are not part of Black Squadron. He says that he's one of the people that has to download the show. He catches it via iPlayer. Because he's not able to listen live on a Saturday morning. He's not part of Black Squadron. You are not part of Black Squadron. I was thinking that we should create a new squadron for the people that listen via iPlayer, right? Via iPlayer.
Well, hang on. We've discussed various squadrons in the past.
Right.
We've discussed Black Squadron. There's been mention of Phantom Squadron. There's also been mention of Slack Squadron.
Mm.
Hasn't there? Now, my understanding is Black Squadron listen live in the UK and Ireland.
Yeah.
Phantom Squadron listen live via Listen Again. Slack Squadron listen live via the podcast. And I've thought of a new squadron who are called Globes Squadron, who listen live in a foreign time zone.
And have large breasts.
Possibly, but that would then rule out men.
Not my kind of man.
Okay then, fair enough.
Just talking.
This is Adam and Joe here coming live from the Camden Crawl. We're in a room. It's got people in it, young people, good-looking young men and women. You know, if there was a cataclysm outside this room, Joe,
This would be a good start point to repopulate the planet.
Absolutely.
It's
we
true.
Could make a very good-looking race of people.
Some of the best DNA in the country is right here.
Yeah. I'm not even going to think about that prospect any longer.
You brought it up.
I know I did. I'm sorry about that. I took it into a dirty area. So listen, you are all members of Black Squadron, not only here in the Market Bar in Camden, but also listening at home. And we have some commands for you who are... they've been selected by our elite Black Squadron
the
members
commands,
here.
The commands aren't people.
Are they not?
Yeah, you referred to them. You said, who are?
Right, that's true.
Yeah,
I did, didn't I?
I should pick you up on that. But yeah, they're good commands. Enough. They've been thought up by the elite Black Squadron conference that's happening here. And there's three there for you to choose from, Adam. What do you reckon?
Well, there's an obvious one staring at me.
Do it.
Take off all your clothes.
That's the Black Squadron command this morning.
What about the squadron members who are here with us, though?
They are exempt,
I think.
It's too early in the show.
Can they take off some of their clothes?
If they want to. They're exempt, you know. This is like the G20 conference. They don't have to abide by the same rules as the populace.
Otherwise, this is the kind of thing that Russell Brand used to do, isn't it?
I know, and we can't get into that area. We'll only become amazingly successful, and that will be awful.
So there you go. That was suggested by Laura, squadron member here in Camden. Take off all your clothes, Black Squadron. Let us know how it goes for you. Don't break any laws.
Well, yeah, what happens if there's a family listening, for instance? Or, you know, it's a difficult command.
It is a tough one, isn't it? Maybe I should have gone for a less controversial one.
Well, no, I think it's really going
to
sort...
But it shouldn't be controversial to take off all your clothes.
Why not?
It's a natural state, right?
Right.
Even though it's illegal.
It's really going to sort the wheat out from the chaff, though, isn't it? This
exactly.
week's Black Squadron command.
Send us some pictures. We'd love to see how it goes.
Hello, Pete Doherty here. Just like to say how much I enjoy listening to the Adam and Joe podcast. Whenever life's got me down, it always brings a chuckle to my face.
Right now, I want to talk about something that... catch up on something we were talking about last week. Someone sent us an email. It was Tom in Clapham and also Patrick Boyle, I think. He says, in response to the lock the taskbar thing that we were talking about, someone said... We were talking about things last week that make your life more entertaining that you do on your own. And someone was saying that when they see the command lock the taskbar on their computer, they sing to the tune of the Clash song Rock the Casbah. Lock the taskbar, lock the taskbar. So Tom and Clapham and Patrick say that we often sing crossing the road to the tune of the Judas Priest song Breaking the Law whenever they're crossing the road. Crossing the road, crossing the road. Nah, nah, crossing the road, crossing the road.
Wow. So we... that was genuine awe.
Yeah.
That's what I say when I'm genuinely awed.
And they also sing, when they're cooking with meat, like chicken, for example, or bacon, they sing, chicken for me, save all your chicken for me. Bye-bye, bacon, bye-bye.
Wow.
Yeah?
Are they locked away in any sense?
That's good though, isn't it?
I mean, that is good. So are we maybe looking for other contemporary songs or pop songs that could be applied to everyday tasks?
Well,
no,
not so much.
We're not
curious about like other songs that people do sing like as a matter of course. Do you not do that at all?
I'd have to have a think. I'm not sure that I do. I'd have to have a proper old
chicken
think.
Chicken for me, save all your chicken.
No, I'm definitely not going to sing that one.
Bye-bye, bacon, bye-bye, just before you pop it in your tummy.
It's a good song.
I did a little jingle about... Do you remember I was talking about my fish fingers last week? When I run out of fish fingers, I sing a little song to myself sometimes.
Yeah.
Don't say
my
it.
My stomach's
like,
making peculiar it? Noises, yeah. But keep talking.
Okay, well, I've done a little jingle to celebrate the fact.
Oh, good one.
Here it is.
Oh no, we've got no fish fingers. No fish fingers in the fridge or the freezer drawer. Damn it! I was sure that we had loads of golden fingers. But it appears that I was wrong and there ain't no more. Fish fingers!
So what, that you would sing that out loud without the musical accompaniment around the house?
Yeah, I would, yeah.
Yeah. That's good, though.
But only if there's no fish fingers. I don't just randomly sing it. I'm not insane.
It's sort of like living with Jack Nicholson out of The Shining, but a musical version.
Well, yeah, it's like living with Jack Nicholson out of The Shining if he's found out he's got no fish fingers, which would legitimately cause him to go on a killing rampage.
Yeah.
Adam's really great and he's wonderful. Joe is really, really, really brilliant.
They're fantastic.
But which one is the best?
It's Adam. Yesterday, we paid. We made a little trip into Camden just to check out the vibes. Yeah.
Yeah, Camden is an area of London that's famous for gigs and getting drunk.
Very good.
Is that correct?
Yeah, I've got some facts about Camden really? Here for you, yeah.
There's a lock there. This is for people who maybe have never been to Camden or don't know what it is.
What kind of lock? Sean lock?
No, it's just a...
Sean lock.
It's just a normal kind of a lock.
Oh, sorry.
Since the dawn of time, witches and warlocks have sold trinkets to teenagers
That's
at Camden.
True.
And you can find all sorts of famous people in Camden.
Well, you know, that's how Camden got its name.
Is it?
Originally, in Dickensian times, it was there was a fellow who was known as Camp Den, and he had, like, a shop where he sold Dickensian T-shirts.
Did he?
Yeah. Some of the ones, the most popular ones, were the slogans included, "You're taking the peeps."
Nice.
And "Fogging hell, it's another pea super."
Right.
That was a big seller back in Camp Den.
Yeah.
Yeah, are you enjoying these?
Yes.
I've got more.
Oh, God.
There was a very controversial T-shirt they used to sell. It had ripped sleeves, and the slogan was, "That's the last time I lend Jack my T-shirt."
Jack the Ripper? Yep, yeah. Got that one.
Because
I'm on that one.
Because it was in bad taste, right?
Yes,
and that's what,
provocative T-shirts.
It was very provocative.
The kids love that.
And they shut Camp Den down.
Did they?
For a while. And it was the other reason he was known as Camp Den was because he always had a fruity response when people came into the shop, you know?
Yeah.
Come into the shop.
That's very
You're
fruity.
Welcome in.
No wonder he was called Camp Den.
Exactly, because he always said things that had a slight double entendre. Have a look at all the stuff.
Oh, that's filthy.
Filthy, absolutely filthy stuff. And that's why Camden is known as Camden, thanks to Camp Den.
Well, thanks to Adam Buxton for that historical info.
But we should set the scene for them. We went wandering around and we felt that we were not correctly dressed, really.
Yeah.
You looked like Brian Ferry yesterday.
I made some bad clothing choices and we had to rectify that at the last minute.
You look like such a smoothie. I mean, you looked handsome. Yeah. My mum would have been very attracted to you.
I knew as I left the house that I'd chosen the wrong clothes for a Friday in Camden. I had a sort of quite nicely pressed shirt.
Yeah.
And then some quite clean jeans.
Uh-huh.
And then some sunglasses.
Some very tasteful Ray-Bans.
Yeah, and I just looked like some kind of awful yuppie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I think you look like a nice yuppie.
Thank you.
Anyway, we're going to play you the fruits of our foray into Camden.
Nice book. Nice old book. Yeah. Nice book. Nice liquor book.
So, listeners, here we are at Camden, in the midst of the Camden crawl. But as we might have already mentioned, I've really misjudged my sartorial choices for today. I'd look like a kind of a banker who's having a day off.
I look quintessentially touristy because I've arrived on my bike, so I've got my shorts on. First day of shorts weather.
Yeah, we both feel sort of conspicuously misdressed, so we're going to try and fix it by buying some uniform, right? Some trendy uniform.
Exactly. We've come to the epicentre of trendiosity in Camden, which is the shop Ganji. It's halfway between Gandhi and Ganja. It's maybe the place
that... Perfect place to be.
Exactly.
The thing about this shop is it's for girls, but that kind of gender, you know...
Gender bias.
Gender bias doesn't really wash at Camden. You know, girls can dress like boys can dress like girls.
Yeah.
Who gives a toss? So we're going to focus on sunglasses because I've got some Ray-Bans on and they look very 80s, don't they? Very Tom Cruise.
Well,
that
you
should
know,
be trendy, shouldn't
to me,
it?
You look really nice, but...
What they need is coloured rims, right?
Right.
That's the fashion. Candy colours on your sunglasses rims. The other thing to do is have slats, as if you've got Venetian blinds over your eyes.
Like Kanye West modelled these very...
Yeah. Once you've got your sunglasses, and there's a magnificent range of different colours and frames and shades, you've got to have your scarf, haven't you? They're very trendy.
What do you do with a scarf? Do you wear them around your neck?
Well, have a look around you, Adam. Here in Camden, you'll see a lot of people sporting scarves.
That's true.
These people have them on their heads as if they're sort of Arab gentlemen.
A couple of individuals there.
Kids like just to toss the scarf around the neck in a devil may care fashion.
Yeah.
It's got no practical purpose.
What about this? Could you pop a scarf, say, with some skulls, a skull motif? Could you pop it in your flies and just have it hanging out of your flies?
Sorry to interrupt you. This gentleman's looking for sunglasses. Hello, sir. Do you mind if we say hello to you?
Yeah, no worries.
You're looking for a pair of sunglasses here. I can't help but notice.
If you wore these,
no,
this
no,
is
no,
one
no,
single
no.
lens
framed with sort of metallic plastic. You could look like a robot man from
Cyclops.
Daft Punk, yeah.
Like a Cyclops finger.
How would that change your life if people mistook you for a Cyclops?
How's he supposed to respond to that? What kind of question is that?
I think a good enough answer.
You're almost talking to me. I'd be interested to find out. I might just buy a pair now.
Hey, listen, what's your name, sir?
Paul.
Paul, nice to meet you. I'm Adam. This is Joe.
Hello.
How you doing?
I love your show.
Thank you. Hey, listen, Paul, as a present, right, I'm proposing to buy you any pair of sunglasses that you like. Right? But you have to pick one.
Okay. Right. It's got to be something totally ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah. But you've got to walk away from us wearing them. All right? That's the deal.
And then you've got to contact the show and tell us what kind of lady response you've had, how your life's changed, whether you've got promoted, or will you do that?
Yeah, all right. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go for the camp blue Cyclops glasses.
He's gone for the visor, the single lens
going right across the eyes.
Yeah.
Curling around the head.
Oh, it does have a little line on it. Oh, see, you don't see that from the outside.
Look, how much are they? That's the question I'm concerned with.
I think it's bartering. Devious little trick, that. Look, how do I look?
You look insane.
Sensational. That is sensational.
All right, I'm going to buy you those glasses. Paul, nice to meet you.
You too, sir.
Take care.
Nice to meet you, Paul. Thanks for talking to us.
There goes Paul. He's walking away from us wearing his robot shades.
Bye-bye, Paul. He's blowing us a kiss. Cheers, he looks Paul. Like a very, very, very stupid man now that he's got those glasses on.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Now, earlier in the week, Joe,
yeah.
I was constructing a picnic table, right?
Right.
You know those benches, picnic benches you get in public parks and stuff, right? And there's you can sit opposite each
other. The benches are attached to the table.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're a sort of single wooden thing.
For as long as I can remember, it's been my dream to own one of those.
Wow.
And that dream came true this week, you know, when I went out and purchased one, very reasonably priced, you know. It makes sense in these difficult times, just to have a picnic bench in your house. So that's what I did. I went out and got one. I was putting it together, right? And I don't know if I was following the instructions poorly or what, but I was finding it very difficult to make the large wooden bits fit together properly. And at one point, I was manhandling this very heavy crossbeam thing, and it swung across onto my thumb, and it sort of sliced horizontally across the top of my thumb.
Oh, my God.
And it basically, here, look, can you see that? It basically lifted the skin just over my nail.
Bring it closer.
Right off. Centimetre.
There's a sort of horrible, pustulent, bloody thing there on the bottom of Adam's thumb.
Yeah. And it was absolutely agonising.
Mm.
Right? So I stood up and I did some effing and blinding. And then I nearly passed out.
Really?
Yeah.
With shock at your own language?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe with shock and disgust at my own lax morals and swearing. But no, I was literally passing. I had to go inside, get a glass of water and sit down because I was just about to faint because I whacked my thumb so hard. And then I got up and I thought, I'm okay. I nearly fainted again. And I'd just been watching. Do you remember I was talking about watching the Ridley Scott film, Body of Lies?
Yeah.
Which I actually enjoyed, and it's all about torture and stuff in the Middle East. It was quite grim, and there's one particularly grim scene with Leonardo DiCaprio being tortured, right, in a cave, and they're whacking his fingers with a hammer. It's really a hard scene to watch. And I remember when I was watching it, I was thinking, I could take that. I could probably take that.
You were wrong.
And I was absolutely wrong. I can't even take a little tap from a garden table.
So this is all leading up to our theme for Text the Nation this week, right?
Yeah, which is minor injuries.
It's the most painful things you can do to yourself accidentally that aren't serious.
Exactly.
So you're not hospitalised, there's no permanent damage. And we're not talking about, because some kids do this sort of thing for fun these days, right?
What sort of thing are you talking
about? Well, Johnny Knoxville type stuff.
Oh, I see.
They staple things to their foreheads.
No, instead
of going to the theatre these days.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah, that is what they do.
They run around in nettles.
We're not talking about voluntary things.
No.
We're talking about things that you do accidentally.
Yeah, paper cuts, that kind of thing.
That was a great chat. Here comes another. Adam and Joe are rocking the podcast now.
Oh,
Oh, Martin.
Excuse me.
So we were talking earlier. Were you about to say something?
Nope.
No, we were talking about earlier about, how can I put this? Pop songs that you customise so that you can sing them when you're doing something quite boring and they fit.
Crossing the road, crossing the road. Nah, nah. Crossing the road, crossing the road.
Is that a pop song?
Yeah, it is.
What is it?
Breaking the law, breaking the law.
Okay, thank you. So we've had one or two texts. Here's one from Ollie and Bex in Haringey. We often sing the tune of Madonna's Borderline when getting on the Northern Line. Northern Line, you keep on pushing me onto the Northern Line. Yes.
Yeah. I'm just not that familiar with that track. You know, I always remember Steve Mason from the Beta Band saying that was his favourite Madonna track.
Really?
It's a little Steve Mason fact.
That's a good fact.
Thanks.
Here's one from Paul Sissons, who's probably Peter Sissons' brother.
Almost certainly.
Almost certainly. So that's exciting.
Or his dad.
Or his dad. Who knows? Hi, Adam and Joe. I sing to myself when visiting a famous chicken takeaway establishment.
Yeah, this is his dad.
Take these chicken wings and learn to fry again. That's Broken Wings by Mr. Mister.
Yeah.
Nick from Ealing says, Adam and Joe, what is going on down there?
It's a
bar.
There's
a lot of noise in here.
What do you expect? Joe's very miffed because everybody's not standing
I'm
there.
I'm going to go and tick some people off. They should be just standing, exactly, as if they're meeting the Queen.
Not moving.
For 3 hours, not moving or speaking. Nick from Ealing says, Adam and Joe, we think it's fun to sing I Feel Like London Tonight, London Tonight, London Tonight, to the tune of I Feel Like Chicken Tonight when the local current affairs programme comes on.
That is desperate.
Do you think?
Yes.
You're calling your listeners desperate.
Well,
Nick from Ealing.
In a very appealing way, obviously.
That's true, a loving way.
But so the show London Tonight comes on and they get so excited they start singing,
Oh, I imagine it's a little bit ironic.
London Tonight time! I feel like London Tonight, London Tonight!
It's a good programme. It's got all the latest news from around London. It's got a quite attractive woman and a really creepy old man.
What's the name of that guy?
I don't know, but listeners who don't live in London, that won't mean much to you, but I'm sure you have similar local news programmes with creepy old men and attractive women. That's the that's the win-win news combination, isn't it?
In Norfolk, they're all creepy.
Yeah.
Mind the Gap.
Yes, it Mind the Gap.
Every week after I do this show, I cycle to the station to get on the train and go back home. And I pop into, like, a little caf to get... What are you smiling at like
Nothing,
for?
Just... I'm happy. I'm just smiling.
You're smiling in a kind of smug way.
Well, that's just me, isn't it?
Like you're just arming your torpedoes.
Yeah. Tracking, targeting.
So what I do is I go into this shop, and it's, like, you know, one of the chain... shops, what do you want to call them?
One of the shops that sells chains.
Exactly. It's a chain shop. And so I go in there and I get the same thing every week. You know, I get myself a little sandwich and a fruit pot thing. And the guy has come to recognize me, the guy behind the counter. Like, not recognize me as Adam Buxton, who does this show. He's got no idea who I am, but he recognizes my face.
Right.
And so after a few weeks, I noticed that he started to sort of, like, he would look up and realised that he was about to serve me next.
Mm.
And his face would light up with happiness to see me like an old friend. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because he recognised me. So it was just, it was like, hey, hey, it's you kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so after a while, apart from just telling me how much my food came to money-wise, he would start chatting to me and saying, how are you? And, oh, you come on your bike, have you? Because he'd see my helmet and stuff. And I'd say, yeah, yeah, yeah. He goes, it's the best way to get around town, you know? I was like, yeah, it is, yeah. He said, we ride a lot of bikes where I come from. I was like, all right, where's that? He's like, India, I come from India. Oh, okay, thanks very much, there's the money, and, you know. And so I always keep it fairly brief because I don't want to get into too much of a chat. But now I'm worried that I'm upsetting him because last week I went in, right?
Mm.
And he gave me a big beaming smile, but I was quite busy, I was late for my train. Mm. So I didn't really give him like a proper smile back. Also, I didn't want to lead him on.
Because you don't want to get locked into a conversation about India.
Well, no, just I just don't want a relationship. I don't feel ready for a relationship with him.
Really?
Yeah.
He's not your type?
No, he's not my type, and I don't know where it could lead.
Well, why don't you tell him that? I mean, it's best to be honest about this kind of thing in relationships. You should say, look, I appreciate your chatting to me, but you're not my type.
Yeah.
I don't think your stories are going to interest me.
No, but seriously, though...
So let's just get on with the business of trading.
Yeah.
And leave it at that.
I think that would offend and upset him. Maybe he's just trying to be pleasant and trying to have a sunny disposition, right? And I feel worried that I'm just throwing it back in his face by not responding. But then I'm worried, what if he does want it to go somewhere special?
I tell you what you should do. What? Next time you go to the shop, paws outside the window where he can see you and have a sort of a fit. Have a sort of a... sort of a shouting fit.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to get ants off you.
Right.
Get off! Ants, get off moth me! Sounds like Jules again.
Spiders in my eyes!
That kind of thing.
Exactly, yes. And then... start laughing like that.
Yeah.
But then when you enter the shop, just drop that completely and behave completely normally.
Right.
And then he won't want to talk to you. That's the solution.
What if he finds that kind of behaviour...
See, I didn't torpedo that one.
...extra attractive? No, you didn't. You were very supportive.
I delivered a solution torpedo.
Thank you very
a
much.
A solution-tipped torpedo.
I'll tell you how it goes next week with him.
Sting!
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, coming to you live from the Camden Crawl. So if you can hear some unusual hubbub...
Mm.
Going on, it's because we're broadcasting from a bar.
A Hugh bar. What? No, a hubbub, Hugh bub. And yes, it's a bar. Sorry, I've gone off in a strange
No, that was good.
Direction.
And this is Camden, right? So people are drinking already.
Are they?
It's 10:38 or so in the morning, and there's already heavy drinking going on, which should not be encouraged.
Who's drinking?
I'm just guessing, actually. I can't see, but I'm assuming because it's Camden, that's what people are doing.
People are still having orange juice and stuff.
Do you think?
Yeah. The sun's come out. Well, at least the sun did come out. At least it stopped raining. I got soaked on my way in this morning. Absolutely soaked!
It's not my fault.
Well, I should have been warned.
Listen, let's do some Text the Nations.
Yes.
Let's have a jingle.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
So listen, Text the Nation this week, listeners, is all about non-serious injuries you've suffered that have caused you in agonising pain, but can be talked about with levity because they haven't resulted in any permanent injury or hospitalisation.
Yeah.
You ready for some of these, then?
Hit me.
Here's one from Elaine in Sheffield. She says, last June, I accidentally dropped a glass dish on my big toe. As I was standing on a tiled floor, it was basically crushed between the dish and the tile below. Easily the most painful thing that's ever happened to me. I had to get the nail drilled to let the trapped blood out.
Shut your mouth. That's unbelievable. I mean, they should have done that in Body of Lies. That's the kind of thing that
That would make a good sequence in a film.
Yeah.
People love that kind of sort of instant improvised surgery in films.
Leonardo.
People love it.
Right. Leonardo DiCaprio in a cave under heavy duress. They drop a glass plate on his foot. I mean, that's unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
And they drilled the toe. I got a blood blister the other day. I just remembered this. I slammed my finger I caught it in the door. I didn't slam the whole finger in the door. I just caught the end of it. And I got a massive blood blister. And it all went numb. It was like a little eco-dome on the end of my thumb. It was amazing. It was like having the Millennium Dome there. And just full of blood. And it went totally numb because the pressure was such that the whole thumb went numb, more or less. So I was kind of digging it in a way. I was playing with it and tapping it and stuff because it was all taut like a drum, full of blood.
This is revolting.
But then at a certain point, I knew that I would have to drain it, right, to release the pressure. Release the pressure! So finally, I pricked it with a pin, and it literally spurted out like a gush of blood. And thereafter, it was...
Is anyone enjoying this story?
Of course they are. thereafter, it was agonisingly painful. Once the blister had been evacuated, it was really painful. And it was, I had to put germaline on there to stop it going septic. And
yeah. Adam and Joe, I had my fingernail nearly ripped off when I shut it in my camper van door when going to a party. It went all colours, and I had to cut it with a Stanley blade to get the swelling down a few days later.
Cut it with a Stanley blade? That's insane. What, like a big rusty Stanley nut? No, I guess they used a nice... you heat it in a flame or something beforehand, surely.
I don't know. They don't say anything about heating it in a flame.
That's horrible.
It's quite painful, isn't it?
Nails are the worst, though, aren't they? Like the tips of your fingers, because you've got all your nerve endings in there.
Something as simple as a splinter under there can be agonising.
I mean, that is absolute torture. What's the other part of your body that you really wouldn't want to hurt?
Nuts.
The nuts and the winkle, yeah.
Will in Eastbourne says, let us take a moment to appreciate getting a shard of potato crisp lodged deep under the gums.
What?
A shard of crisp? Does anybody relate to that? Under the gums, yeah. Black Squadron nodding. That's been approved by Black Squadron. Here's another one from Paul in Belfast. He says, when I was in primary school, I was play fighting with a friend. What I didn't realise was he was holding a pencil. He accidentally stabbed the centre of my hand, the pencil lead snapped off, and is still to this day lodged in my hand.
I've got the same thing.
Slowly, let me finish, please.
Can I finish?
It's still lodged in my hand, slowly making its way down my hand towards my vital organs. Now, that's like a sort of nerdy intellectual version of being 50 Cent.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Instead of bullets lodged in the body, pencil tips. I mean, that would impress the homies on a certain block, on Sesame Street, maybe.
Right, instead of showing off their bullet wounds, they just...
Yeah.
And over there, I was stabbed by an HB pencil.
Yes.
That kind of thing. Is
exactly.
That what you're talking about?
That is exactly what I'm talking about.
I like to listen to Adam and Joe, but I listen to the podcast, not the live show. I used to feel acute frustration because I couldn't join in with Text the Nation. But now my worries have disappeared. About.
Yes, listeners, it's time for Retro Text the Nation, and once again, this is coming to you from outside the toilets in the bar where we recorded the special Camden Crawl live show this week. And the theme of Text the Nation during last week's show was things you do, games you play with yourself in your head to make mundane activities more interesting. And Jason Thompson sent us in quite a brilliant name for this, a collective term, which is intratainment.
Intratainment,
yeah.
Nice, because we were talking about
entertainment.
We were talking about autotainment. That was the title of the
intra
podcast.
Intra is even better.
Intra is better.
Yeah. Here's one from Dickie, who says, when cleaning the house, I like to don marigolds, waterproofs, and a woolly hat, and pretend I'm a serial killer cleaning DNA evidence from the scene of my latest brutal murder.
Like Dexter.
Hope you're both well. Sincerely, Dickie. That's nice, isn't it?
You know, a lot of these, now that we're going further inside the psyches of our listeners,
yeah,
a lot of quite scary stuff is coming out. Here's one from Paul from Stratford-on-Avon. He says, Retro Text the Nation. Sometimes to entertain myself, I picture myself punching someone in the head. Like a lady sat next to me on a bus. Or a Ooh. Child at work.
Oh.
Brackets, I work in a school.
Oh.
I picture their reaction and what would happen to me and how I'd justify it. Sometimes I imagine punching people driving me places. And I see myself as a superhero or a gangster thug taking the car and kicking them out of the car. Paul from Stratford.
That's lovely, isn't it? I mean, they're kind of very different things, a gangster thug and a superhero.
Right.
I mean, not a lot of superheroes go around punching children.
No.
And in fact, that's a terrible thing to even imagine.
Well, I only read that out because the rest of his email was quite jolly and he seemed like a well-balanced person.
It's important that it's aired because now he can deal with it.
Yeah.
Perhaps. It's bad to keep that kind of thing inside.
Mm.
Here's another one. This is from Dean Puckett. When I say here's another one, I mean here's another customer coming to use the loo. But that's fine. No, you come on in. Here's one from Dean Puckett. He says, whenever I get into the bath, I lean forward slowly, letting my face penetrate the surface of the water.
Mm.
I like to fantasize that I'm going to fall out the other side into an ancient Egyptian alternative future world like that film Stargate with Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm going to try that.
Sort of piercing the meniscus of the water.
Yeah, but in truth, that's not how you get into a bath. You get in feet first, and then the undercarriage, which, for the people living in the alternate Egyptian future, would be a peculiar arrival. There's a ball sack coming through, sir.
Kurt Russell, what do you make of this? It's a futuristic pair of Butox. Speaking of Butox, here's one from Becky in Manchester. She says, hello, some years ago, I developed a habit which has now become second nature to me on journeys, almost to the point of OCD. When I'm a passenger in a car or on the bus, I clench my buttocks each time the vehicle passes a certain object. For instance, a parked car, or lamppost, or a lorry. As well as exercising the gluteus maximus, this is also a test of my reaction times and coordination. To take the game to the next level, I assign different objects to each buttock. So, whilst my left cheek might be twitching each time we pass a tree on the left, I might be clenching my right cheek whenever a car overtakes on the right. Thus, I have mastered control of my Butox and can operate them simultaneously, yet independently of one another. You should try it. Thanks, says Becky in Manchester.
I bet she's got a beautifully toned bottom.
Yeah, it must be amazing. I'd love a picture of that, Becky.
Yeah, Adam would love a picture of your bottom, but that's an everyday occurrence. Here's one from Darren in Birmingham. When I travel through motorway tunnels with rows of orange lights, I pretend I've made the jump to light speed.
Yes.
It's a good one. Very simple, very effective.
As that was Quickles, I'm going to do another one from Derek Boland. When I see a flashing light, i.e. my modem, or an oven clock, I like to blink really quickly to create the illusion that the light is steady.
What?
Conversely, there have been times when I've blinked really quickly to create the illusion that the light isn't even on.
Ah.
Give it a go. It's not as easy as you'd think. I read that one out because I do. I like to do that as well.
It's a fun game.
It's a fun game for anyone to play.
Finally, I've got one from Matt Taylor. He says, most of my mind games involve me convincing myself that I will die if or when a certain thing happens that is out of my control. If the yolk breaks whilst frying an egg, then I will die. If the interior light on a car goes out before I manage to unlock the front door of the house, then I will die. If the burglar alarm beeps to confirm that it's been activated before I get to the top of the stairs, then I will die. In theory, I should be dead. P.S. If you don't read out this email, I will die. From Matt Taylor.
Oh, we've saved a life. That's beautiful. Well, you said finally before you read that one, so that's it.
Finally for me, that
Oh,
was.
Really? Oh, good, I get another chance. Here's my final one from Joshua Spencer in Devon. When I'm bored at work, I like to deconstruct pens, lay out all the pieces neatly and put them back together like they're guns. The kind that tough guys put together in films whilst blindfolded and hanging upside down. The more pieces a pen breaks into, the more fun it is. I agree, Joshua Spencer in Devon.
Yeah.
You're the man.
It's nice to deconstruct things like that, definitely.
Yeah.
We had so many really good ones for this entertainment thing. We might do some more in the future.
Well, one day we'll get a proper blog on the BBC, one day soon, and ones we don't have time to read out can be showcased there. But
yeah.
Thanks to everybody who sent us texts and emails for that one, and Retro Text the Nation will be back in the podcast next week.
We's only necking, miss.
We are stood in Dolly's, which is a emporium which sells pretty much anything you need to be a fashionable person.
Yeah, to blend in Camden, you'd need to spend quite a lot of money here at Dolly's, wouldn't you, to get your full kit?
There's studded fingerless gloves, which everybody needs.
I've seen one up there that is just a raised finger.
Oh, on a belt buckle?
On a belt buckle. Do you see there towards the top right?
I certainly do. That's a statement of intent, isn't
it's
it?
It's giving people the finger.
It's
24 hours
statement.
A day, 7 days a week.
From the groin.
From the groin is expressing something inside me that I think, you know, could be usefully expressed on a belt buckle. And there's a very good range of hats here, Adam, as well. As you know, like, trilby hats are very fashionable. Do you work here, sir?
Well, yeah, okay.
Hello, we're Adam and Joe from BBC Six Music.
What's your name, sir?
My name is Asad.
Asad, nice to meet you.
We're just trying to figure out what the kids are wearing in Camden at the moment, because it's a very trendy place, isn't it?
Brilliant.
What do you think? Which hat should I go for? I mean, there's a straight bowler there. No one's wearing bowlers, are they?
Yeah, you're being recommended one by the shop staff now. He's going for the
He's
top
going
hat.
Going for the top hat. What's your name, sir?
Hussein.
Hussein?
Yeah.
Nice to meet you. You have immediately picked out for me a top hat. Why was that? Why did you think I'm a top hat kind of guy?
I thought you English man, you should like a top hat, because top hat is English.
That's good.
It's made in England too.
How much is this one, sir?
It's because, you know, these one comes expensive. It's made in England.
Ah, this is where we start haggling, right?
It's not made in China.
Cut to the chase. What's the price?
£45.
45 quid? All right, yeah. I'll give you £30 cash.
£30? I'm not allowed to sell £30. What I'll do, which is my best price, and
yeah.
I'll get you discount, is because you know the tourists. Actually, right. We charge tourist people £5 extra.
Flipping heck, Tucker, you heard it here first.
It's because you know the tourists.
Yeah.
We will get you £5 at discount. You can have it £40.
40 quid. How about
that
this?
That was Adam. I got to say, that was really bad haggling.
Was it?
I mean, you went down by 25%. You should have cut it right down. You should have gone in on £15.
You reckon?
Yeah.
How about this? 15 quid. That's
it's too late
haggling.
Now, because you can't backtrack now.
40 quid? I just bought someone a pair of shades for 7 quid, the robot shades. Am I going to invest £40 for a hat I'm never going to wear again after I introduce
but
Madness?
You know, actually, this is high quality. It's top hat too, yeah?
Yeah.
So you can use for the fancy dress party.
What about, could you recommend a T-shirt for me? Because I don't feel very trendy here in Camden. Can you pick out a nice T-shirt that might make me a bit trendier?
Yeah, sure. That's a Bob Marley. That's too funny, and it's not you style, and I can tell.
Bart Simpson dressed as Bob
yeah,
Marley.
Yeah, downloading
there.
Is a bit, you know, funny joke, street joke.
But the key for me is to, I want to be really trendy. I want to be fashionable.
Fashionable.
He wants girls to look at him and think, he's not 40.
That's exactly what I want.
All I need is you, that one.
That's got a dirty word on it. We can't swear on this.
That's
program.
Got the F-bomb on it.
Oh, sorry then. The Killers.
So it's you think it's the band The Killers from a distance, but when you get up close, who's on it?
It's Bin Laden.
It's Bin Laden. Osama Bin Laden.
It's George Bush.
Saddam Hussein.
Bin Laden and Saddam Hussein. And Hitler.
They're all the killers.
Yeah, they're all the killers.
You know, the one I like best is Bart Marley.
Bart Marley is good.
I think that's got...
I the first time. Yeah, yeah. I thought you might not like it.
If I buy that top hat, then I have to wear the top hat, and Joe has to wear the Bart Marley t-shirt to introduce Madness. What about that, Joe?
Yeah, okay then.
Are you up for
all
it?
All right, then.
All right, we're going to buy
If that's what the kids are wearing, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
There we go, I got to do it in that case.
Hey, thank you so much for your help.
No, thank you.
Adam and Joe.
Naughty.
Ooh. My nipples.
So listen, we're going to do some more Text the Nations. Our theme today is all about non-serious injury. And we've discovered an extraordinary non-serious injury here in the bar amongst our invited guests.
Before we discover what that injury is, shall we have the jingle? But shall we have Black Squadron sing along to the jingle?
That's an interesting idea. I didn't say it's a good idea. It's an interesting idea.
Are you in a position to do that, Squadron?
Yeah!
Okay, fire off the jingle. Will they be able to hear it? Okay, fire it off.
Text the Nation. Text, 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 text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text!
Oh.
Black Squadron, get out! That was a disgrace.
Well, there's something a tiny bit humiliating about it, isn't there? I mean, when you're on your own in your house, you imagine this kind of world. But when you actually see the world for real...
Yeah.
It's not quite what you thought it could be.
People singing along.
No, that was magnificent. I think that was sung in exactly the right sort of level of dejection and kind of hopelessness.
A few seconds out of time.
Yeah, yeah. But as I said, the subject of this week's Text the Nation is non-serious injuries. And Adam was just talking about... Oh, no, one of our listeners texted in about a piece of lead pencil that's still lodged in his hand.
I've got the same injury. You can
Adam,
see
what have you got there? You've got a piece of pencil lodged in your hand.
Yeah, like right in the middle. It might even... Do you know what? Now that I think about it... Actually, this may not be true. But it was around the time that I was at school with Guy Ritchie.
Oh, no.
He was a contemporary...
The famous film director
famous
done it to
director.
You.
He
He'd give you a name then.
Yeah.
Lead mitt. Or something.
Lead hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, take that, lead hands. But I'm not sure if he actually inflicted the injury on me or if it was like a scrap and someone else actually stuck the pencil in. But you can still see a little grey circle there where the pencil went right into my hand.
But this is another fascinating area. People who are, to me anyway, people who are carrying around things lodged in their... peculiar things lodged in their bodies, right? Everyone loves that. They always have pictures in the sun, don't they, of people with big nails in their heads. And that sells millions.
It's like Iron Man, isn't it?
Exactly. But so what's the gentleman's name here?
It's Matthew.
Hello, Matthew. Hello. Thanks for coming this morning. Now, Matthew, you've got a foreign object lodged in your body. Is that not correct?
That sounds
slightly filthy, but it's no bad thing.
I've got the same thing, a lead pencil, but stuck in my eyebrow.
And it was a coloured pencil,
right? Yeah, it was
a
coloured blue pencil, and you can see the blue lead.
Come over here, Matthew, if you would. I want Joe to see this.
I know, I did have a good look at it, and it's extraordinary. It's just between the top of the nose and the eyebrow. You can actually see the tip of a little bit of blue crayon.
Because it's well, glasses, though, so no.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Essentially, what's happened is that you've had a little kind of makeshift tattoo job, because that's all tattooing is, right? And they're basically you just stick little bits of dye and colour in people's bodies.
To a degree, yeah.
What do you mean, to a degree?
Well,
that's because exactly what it is.
Because the implement with which they're applying the dye is removed. And that's what's different here. It's still in there.
No,
he's
it's
got
not
it in his face.
It didn't break off, though, did it?
Yeah, yeah. It's the actual lead in.
It's the lead in there, Adam Buxton.
Flipping heck.
I don't know why my mum never thought of taking it out. She's taking it to be in the hospital.
She thought it looked good.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Do you get more respect amongst crayonists that you hang out with? Yeah, they reckon you're kind of a tough guy.
Yeah, high up in the crayon land.
That's really good. That's a pretty good non-serious injury. But you're going to carry that around for the rest of your life, do you think?
Hopefully,
fingers crossed.
That's probably
why you work its way out at some point, but right. Hasn't yet.
Here's a very good one that came in via text. This is from Betty in Highbury, who says, I was once trying to crumble a bit of effervescent vitamin C, like one of those tablets, and a shard flew into my eye.
What?
The more my eyes ran, the more it fizzed.
It was terrible. It felt like a Catherine wheel firework going off in my eyeball. Imagine that. Effervescent pill in your eye.
That, I mean, why have they not done that on Jackass?
Man, this could be. We could be putting together material for Jackass 3, couldn't we?
You needed cheering up because you were feeling rather low. But now you're doing brilliant thanks to Adam and to Joe and their podcast.
Now listen, chaps, we're going to talk about Stephen and Stevenage just to fill you in if you have never listened to this show before. Stephen is a thing that started out about 6 months ago when we were talking about Juvenilia, and someone sent us in a comic, someone called Steve Curran, and he had made a comic about the action adventures of himself, and it was just called Stephen! And we thought it was a funny idea that he would, you know, in this comic just run around. And what would happen in the comic? I don't know. He'd just run around and shout, Stephen! Just coming! And that would be about as exciting.
Yeah, people who needed his assistance would shout his name. But then another listener suggested this could become a meme, I believe is the correct word.
Right.
A way that listeners could communicate to each other in public spaces. And this has kind of, despite us, taken off a little and resulted in a lot of gigs around the country being interrupted by shouts of Stephen. Now, people who listen to the show like this and find a kind of fidelity in it, but other people hate it.
Well, some people find it a little irritating and invasive.
Mm, yeah.
But then Stephen, you know, went to a different level this week. I'll tell you why. Here's a message from Paul Jeffs, no, and Alex Herity. This was pointed out to us by many people, Sharon, Nathan, Caton Redding, Chris Chambers. Anyway, it says, I've been listening to your podcast for a few months now, and I really enjoy it. The Stephen Just Coming thingamabob I find quite amusing, but I'd never experienced it in my own day-to-day life until today. I just got into the car with my friend, and Radio 1's Edith Bowman came blurting out, and she was having a lunch date-type feature with Simon Pegg. I just caught the end of a phone call from a listener to the show who said, blah, 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 thanks. Can I just say something to the nation? And let's play the clip now. Why not?
Yeah.
Mark?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, mate. It's lovely
right,
talking to you.
Can I just say one thing to the nation?
Sure.
Stephen! Thanks.
Stephen.
Stephen.
Yeah. I was a bit scared there for a second.
What?
We're live.
Who's Stephen?
What was he going to say? Stephen.
Why did he say Stephen?
I have no idea, Simon.
So there you go. That is an Adam and Joe listener phoning Radio 1.
Unfortunately, the Stephen was slightly covered up by Edith Bowman there. She was legitimately worried that he was just about to swear, I think.
But Bowman had no idea what was going on. Neither did Simon.
Well, the point is made by Alex Herity here in his message. He says, point one, why is Bowman, one of the members of the Big British Castle, not listening to the Adam and Joe show? Or at the very least, up to date on BBC matters and slogans? Right, that's a good point. I mean, you know, we all know Edith Bowman's catchphrases, right?
Yeah.
More eggs, please, Cameron Diaz. Have a jelly bun. It's the nation's number one. And sort your wig out, Uncle Dick. That kind of thing.
Yeah. Everyone knows those.
We know all Bowman's catchphrases, so why doesn't she know about Stephen? Point two. What was the guy doing, right? He's got... Alex Herity's got a problem with the actual Stephener. He says the Stephen concept, I thought, was just for gigs or events with large groups of fans that would be bonded together by it. But no, that's absolutely fine. He's applied it to the Radio 1.
Yeah, I think we can only give that guy credit who phoned in there and did the Stephen.
He concludes, Alex Herity, all I hope is that the good name of Stephen can ride through this troubled period in its life and come out the other side. Mm. I would say that it's doing well if it's being shouted out on Radio 1.
Well, we've made Natasha Khan from Bat for Lashes annoyed, haven't we?
A little bit,
We've kind of intruded on the world of the Fleet Foxes, who now get it wherever they go in the world. And we've also made a bit of a mess on Radio 1. So we'd like to ask Elite Squadron, who are here with us in Camden today, whether they would vote to kill the Stephen meme, whether they think it should be crushed before it gets out of hand and too annoying, or whether they think it should carry on and be encouraged. Are we going to take a show of hands?
Well, here's a message from someone very much putting the case against continuing with Stevenage. This is Charlie Tittle from London. He says, he calls us Adamano Bucksters and Josephus Cornlife.
Good work.
So, you know...
Cornlife?
Yeah. You have to take that into account when listening to his comments, I think. He says, I think the problem with Stephen is that it's becoming a little, inverted commas, garlic bread, you know? Do you know what he means by that?
No, I don't. What does he mean by that?
He says, it's the kind of thing lads in pubs would shout for about 18 months after Peter Kay found his fame. I don't know what he's talking about there. But he says, I'm not saying that it's annoying, but maybe it's time to put Stephen to bed. Like in the Jerry Halliwell video where she has a funeral for her stage persona, Ginger. Remember that video? Yeah, it was rubbish, wasn't it? You get my drift. And it doesn't mean that one day there won't be a new and all exciting... a new and exciting call and response type catchphrase for the Adam and Joe show on Six Music, but maybe Stephen is sadly coming to its end, says Charlie Tittle.
Well, so, what do you think then? We should put it to the vote here.
Yeah, but I mean, I would hope that Black Squadron here would vote to continue Stevenage, wouldn't you? I think it's fun. How is it? I think it's easily avoided in your life. It's not so all intrusive that it's ruining people's lives, don't you think?
Well, I think we should find out. Have you been giving this some thought, Elite Squadron? They're nodding wisely. They've been thinking, OK, I think when I point at you, you've got to shout either the word kill. Yeah, you've all shouted that before in the past. Or the word Stephen. All right. Here we go. This is a big moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Go.
Stephen!
There you see. Nobody, not a single person shouted kill.
No.
There we go. It will not die, despite our best efforts.
Noises, beeping noises.
I was watching TV a couple of weeks back at Easter, and I was struck by a bit of continuity announcing, because they're getting quite uppity, aren't they, the continuity people, sometimes?
Yes, they tell jokes.
They've got
they do funny voices.
Way
they make,
too much personality.
Yeah, they make sarcastic comments about...
Right.
They try and be our pals.
Exactly. I don't want them to be my pals.
Don't you?
No, I want to keep them
You just like a sort
length.
Of... Yeah, sort of a detached, authoritarian yes. voice guiding you through the schedules.
Next is Newsnight.
That kind of thing. I don't want any opinions about
Well, that
about
would be
it.
A good cost-cutting measure, because television is going through terrible financial troubles.
Right.
Because no one advertises on it anymore.
Uh-huh.
So they could cut some costs by having the continuity announcer...
Stephen Hawking voice.
A robot voice, yeah.
Fred, I believe it's called, yeah.
Mm.
Well, the continuity announcer, to try and jazz up the fact that the... Okay, let's see if you can guess what film he was introducing.
Mm.
And now it's time for our big Easter movie. And legend has it, it's a corker.
Legend?
No.
No.
He was introducing
Hang
Arthur.
On, is it some... What?
Arthur. Not the film with Dudley Cuddly Dudley, but Arthur... Starring Keira Knightley and Clive Owen.
King Arthur.
King Arthur.
Yeah.
Right.
Legend has it, it's a stinker.
Well, exactly.
Wouldn't that be the correct announcement?
I mean, how disingenuous is that? Legend has it, it's a corker.
Right.
That's outrageous. I mean, you may as well introduce Van Helsing by saying, prepare to have your blood sucked out by one of the greatest films of all time. You know?
Which would be a heinous lie.
Total lie. Like, how about this? How would you introduce My Best Friend's Wedding, which is on tonight at 9 on Channel 4?
Oh, prepare to be lowered into the pit of hell very slowly by the most boring man and woman in the world.
That would be the honest introduction.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you've got to do a special lying continuity
really?
Introduction. Prepare to be lowered into a pit of fun and frolics for all the family with a potentially Oscar-winning performance by Rupert Everett.
Yeah, it's the lowered and the pit that are still in there that still make it sound quite bad.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it?
Hello, the name's Moore, Roger Moore, and you are listening to Adam and Joe, or Joe and Adam.
We were trying to think of commands for Black Squadron at the beginning of the show, and someone came up with the command, talk like David Bowie for 30 minutes.
That would be quite a difficult thing to do.
For 30 whole minutes, well, I think it would be quite easy.
Yes, it would be very easy.
That's extremely easy to talk like that. Yes. Could you pass the coffee?
Certainly I could pass the coffee-sicity.
Oh, love. This coffee is absolutely superlative.
Its theatricality is extraordinarily...
Did Brian Eno help you put this coffee together?
Yes, he did, using some abstract cards.
His oblique strategy cards?
Yes.
And where's that? Hey, Mom.
That's one of those impressions that's sort of broken free from its source, you
from
know? It's just free-floating.
Yeah.
It's got very little to do with how Bowie actually speaks
no
now.
No longer, like your Jules Holland impression.
What do you say? That was brilliant.
It was brilliant.
It was on the nail.
I don't think it sounded like... If Jules Holland heard that impression that you did of him last week, I don't think he would go, you know what? He's absolutely catching me.
Who was that?
That was Jules Holland. That's how he really speaks.
I didn't recognise him.
Yeah. Should we have the Text the Nation jingle?
Yes.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
It doesn't matter. Text.
Now, Text the Nation this week, listeners, is all about non-serious injuries that you've inflicted on yourself or other people, I suppose. Stuff that hasn't resulted in any hospitalisation or permanent damage, but that is cool to talk about.
And don't forget, if you're listening to this show on Listen Again, then you can still contribute to this Text the Nation by sending us your non-serious injuries throughout the week. You can email them on adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk and they might be read out in next week's podcast.
Who can tell? But here's a good one from Jen in Cardiff. She says, "Dear Adam and Joe, I got a loft ladder in the face on Christmas Day."
Ouch.
Now, there are accidents waiting to happen because they nestle on the inside of the flap. If you've got one nestled on the inside of your flap?
Everyone does. Every real man does.
Yeah. And so you open the loft and it can come tumbling down.
Because they fold up in a kind of triangle, don't they?
What sort of thing is that to happen on Christmas?
That's a horrible thing to happen
on
Christmas Day.
Is there a God? If that can happen on Christmas?
I mean, that's a very big debate. And, you know, the Catholics have been talking about that particular loft ladder.
It's true, isn't it? Loft ladders are the work of Satan anyway, so it's got no religion threatening implications. Here's another one from Andy in Glasgow. It says, "Dear Adam and Joe, a couple of years ago, whilst eating my lunch and dealing with my emails, I suffered a rather unusual eye injury. This is horrible. The sandwich I was eating, purchased from a well-known high street baker's, was packaged in a shallow card tray, which, during a lapse of concentration, slipped as I was about to take a bite of the sandwich." You following this?
Yeah.
"And it went into my eye, causing an extremely sore paper cut." So he got a paper cut.
On the eyeball.
On his eyeball.
Oh.
That's Andy in Glasgow.
That is the second most painful ball to get a paper cut on. That's terrible. How did he do that, though?
Somebody stubbed a cigarette out in my eye when I was 15
at
a nightclub.
Face.
He was chatting to a girl and I was sitting next to him and he just accidentally shoved it in my eye.
What?
And I had a cigarette burn on my eye, but I went to sleep and it miraculously recovered. The human eye is an extraordinarily resilient piece of tissue. Even so, you should not go putting things in it or anywhere near it, right?
Don't put fizzy lozenges or cigarettes or anything
fizzy
like
lozenges.
That.
Fizzy lozenges.
Fizzy lozenges.
Hey, Mark,
could you pass the fizzy lozenges? Could you pass the fizzy lozenges? Oh, look at the lozenge. Oh, it's in my eye. Well, Bowie got a lollipop in his eye, didn't he?
He did. Bowie's had eye trauma.
That's right.
Wow.
So it's all linking in.
It stayed dangling out of the eye, didn't it, for some time?
Only in my eye. Oh, no. That's the song he wrote about it. Well, he didn't get very far with it. Nice.
We've come a little way up the street now. Joe's wearing his Bart Marley T-shirt.
Things have changed for me.
And I'm wearing my top hat. I'm feeling a lot better, I have to say.
I felt pretty good until a girl laughed at me.
Are you sure she wasn't just chuckling at the Bart Marley shirt?
No, I think she thought it was, like, disgusting and tasteless. And rather than that being fashionable, I thought the reaction might be, "Oh, that's disgusting and horrible. You're cool."
You're cool.
It wasn't. It was, "That's disgusting and horrible. You're disgusting and horrible."
No.
I don't know. I'm just being paranoid.
How could anyone find a picture of Bart Simpson smoking a big fat jazz cigarette with a big load of dreadlocks on his head and the words Bart Marley? How could anyone find that in any way?
The man in the shop said it would help me blend in. Well, we're sandwiched between the Sainsbury's local and the Roundhouse, two of the most important places in Camden. And, of course, the Roundhouse is the hub of the Camden Crawl, where the biggest bands are playing.
Who's playing here tonight?
You don't know. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Ben mouthed that to you, didn't he?
I knew that. I knew they were playing. I just wasn't sure where. But, yeah, all the biggest bands are playing here. And as a result, there's a huge queue of attractive hipsters waiting to get in.
Individuals, some of whom look a little bit like Jack Pignatti. There's some kind of DJ slouchy chaps with very large headphones on. Some very beautiful women wearing leggings and indecently short skirts. It's really happening here.
I wonder how some of the people in this queue would judge our new outfits, you know?
What's your name, sir?
Torsten.
We just bought some stuff from Camden Market down there to blend in a little bit more because we're a bit old. So how do you think it's gone? Joe bought this T-shirt.
Yeah. The man in the shop said it would make me fashionable.
Can be, yes.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Tosin's impressed by that. What about my hat? I just bought this.
Oh, it looks better. Looks better than the T-shirt.
How much would you pay for a hat like that?
£10.
thank you for talking to us.
What's your name?
My name's Lulu.
Hi, Lulu.
You look ridiculous in that hat.
What?
I'm sorry.
We bought these things to make us blend in Camden, right?
Yeah.
And the man in the shop said that top hat was all the rage and that this T-shirt
okay.
was really cool as well.
Many top hats going on here. I think you should go to something more like this, some really cool boots, instead of like these walker boots as well.
Yeah, but you're wearing hexagonal mirror things around
yeah,
your neck.
I've got a mirror ball around my neck.
How is
it's
that
like
better
a
than a top hat?
Just exploded onto my chest. How cool is that?
Look, every man is wearing a check shirt. Look, there's three of them. There's three of them. All in a row, three Czech shirts. Is that individuality?
No.
Or is that conformitality? Do you not think the Bart Simpson t-shirt is a more individual statement than the Czechie shirt?
No, I'm really bored of Bart Simpson than the Simpsons.
Yeah, but that in itself is cool, isn't it? I mean, when everyone else is bored, I'm still interested. So it means I don't follow the herd.
Well, that's a sartorial update from the queue outside the roundhouse. Thank you very much.
You've lost your place in the queue.
I don't care. I've only just arrived.
You can get back in there with my checkmates. Checkmates. Doesn't matter.
Adam's really great and he's wonderful. Joe is really, really, really brilliant.
They're fantastic.
But which one is the best? It's Joe.
Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's almost time to say goodbye to you listeners, but we're going to just wrap things up in the Textonation house.
Yeah, we should remind people we're live from the Camden Crawl, hence the peculiar acoustics and the hubbub.
Yeah.
But we've been doing a Textonation all about non-serious injuries.
Now, I wouldn't exactly call this an injury as... Well, no, I would call this an injury. The other day, I got a little fly in my eye. Right?
Mm-hmm.
How many often times have you had fly in your
oftentimes,
eye?
Oftentimes, fly in yeah, eye. Yeah, what, a big full-size yeah. fly, a big fat
not,
fly?
No, not like a blue bottle or a house fly.
But not like a tiny little insect thing.
It was a sort of a midgy thing. And the thing is, I could see him approaching me. Right?
Yes. 3D.
And I thought, he's not coming for my eye, is he? Wham! Straight into the eyeball. Landed on the eyeball. And... I immediately, you know, tried to rub it out, but I was worried that by rubbing it, I would cause it to get deeper into the folds of my eyeball and the flesh, if you know what I'm saying, right? And sure enough, the fly drifted around the eyeball.
Was it sort of spread-eagled on your field of vision like one of those Garfields that you put on your car window, staring at you
well,
hugely?
I couldn't see it because it was round, it was not over my actual
that's a shame.
Iris, you know. So it wasn't being dealt with. It was out of my field of vision. But I was very anxious that it would remain there forever because I couldn't get this thing out at all. And I wept. I thought of some sad things to make me weep. Also, my eye was naturally watering because of the irritation the fly was causing. But, you know, can they just stay in there? It stayed in there for about a day. It felt like it was in there. Yeah?
Did it? You know, that's good, that's good. In there for a day. Well, they decompose. And their natural vitamins inside them actually enhance your eyesight.
Yeah, do they?
Yeah? I recovered from that.
Because I used to think that's what... You know, floaters, right? When you see, sometimes you see what seems like little hairs in front of your field of vision drifting around when you move your eyeball.
Right.
They're called floaters.
Right.
And I used to think they were flies' eggs. Not eggs, but legs.
Right? Flies' legs.
Flies' legs that had got in there.
Really?
Why don't you read out a couple of texts there? You're no use whatsoever
well,
with
no,
my fly
I'm
story.
No, I'm just amazed. I've got this picture of the surface of your eyeball now with severed legs, spread-eagled insects, all kinds of stuff going
on
in there.
A little Camden crawl on my eyeball.
This is from Rob in Shrewsbury. On the theme of finger pain, my mother once burned the end of her finger in perhaps the most idiotic way possible. Whilst driving an unfamiliar car, she mistook the cigarette lighter for the fog light and pressed it. When it became clear what had happened, she examined the cigarette lighter, decided that she had to deactivate it before it could be returned to the dashboard, and inexplicably elected to put her finger into the lighter. The smell of burning finger skin stays with me to this day.
That is horrible.
Mum, that's very sweet. Poor mum, she doesn't smoke, she doesn't understand cigarettes, doesn't know what this thing is, sticks her finger in it. Poor old mum.
That's terrible.
And that's the end of this week's podcast. Now here's a goodbye link.
Thank you. You've been wonderful. Throw me your dirty pants. I'll wash them and get them back to you. Thank you.
Well, that's pretty much it for our special Camden Crawl podcast. Just before we go, I won't do shout... How did you think the shout-outs went last week? Did you listen to them in the podcast,
Joe? The shout-outs?
Yeah, we did some shout-outs and speeded them up at the end of the podcast.
Oh, I thought they went quite well, but maybe every now and then. We should do them occasionally.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's it for our special Camden Crawl podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. How did you find it went in the end, Joe?
I thought it went, pretty well. We managed to ride out the hubbub from the bar below.
You were very distracted by the hubbub.
I've got mental problems.
Yeah.
And I thought Elite Squadron were superb. It was fantastic to meet some listeners face to face.
A very nice group of people. People that I would be proud to call my friends.
Yeah.
And even more proud to call my lovers.
All of them.
All of them.
What's left for me?
Well, you can join in.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Or you could just clean up the mess.
Oh, I have to have a think about that. Anyway, thanks for listening, listeners. We'll be back with a perfectly normal show next week, so don't forget to tune in 9 a.m. till noon on BBC Six Music. Until then, have a great week.
Have a good week. Take care. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed the Adam and Joe podcast, then why not try the John Richardson podcast? Download it now. bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.